work together and talk with, you know, get both sides of the table to sit down, we can find solutions as an industry.
A national group is helping charter operators who want halibut quota from the commercial fleet. And tourism hacks away at unemployment again. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. Alaska's charter fishing industry is attempting to come up with a plan that would allow charter operators to purchase halibut quota from the state's commercial fishing fleet. Jeff Salzer is the project manager for the Accountability Through Compensated Halibut, or CATCH, project.
The CATCH project is funded by National Fish and Wildlife Foundation's Fisheries Innovation Grant. And what we've been granted to do is to take a look at the feasibility of developing an industry-supported catch share plan, which is a pooled catch share plan, with two elements in there that would include the purchase of allocation, or IFQ, from the commercial sector into the recreational sector. And then the second aspect of that is to look at the feasibility of different measures of accountability within the charter industry to maintain harvest limits.
The CATCH project is also being funded through in-kind donations from the Southeast Alaska Guides Organization and the Alaska Charter Association. Concerns over dwindling halibut stocks have led the federal government to slash commercial catch limits while also implementing much stricter regulations for the halibut charter fleet. The commercial catch limit in Southeast is 73% lower than it was 8 years ago. In an effort to rein in the charter catch, the feds implemented a one halibut per day rule for charter customers 2 years ago. This year, the federal government took further steps to curtail the charter catch, implementing a limited entry system for charter operators and a 37-inch limit on charter-caught halibut in Southeast. Salzer says the size limit has been highly controversial within the charter fleet, but admits it's been effective in keeping charter catches within federal guideline harvest levels.
This is designed to create a specific result, and unfortunately, I think it's extremely efficient at creating that result, but it's a result that isn't, you know, good for business. And I think that, you know, as an industry, and if we can work together and talk with, you know, get both sides of the table to sit down, we can find solutions as an industry that make a lot more sense, that can achieve similar results. Because at the end of the day, it's about managing a resource that people depend on and their livelihoods depend on.
Salzer says the CATCH project is conducting listening sessions this month throughout Southeast and South Central. He says the hope is to collect ideas for a proposal that would eventually be presented to the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council.
We're going to get people's opinions and ideas on a couple different functions. But when you think about it, the two things have to happen. And one is there needs to be accountability. And how do we maintain accountability is we have to know where we're at during the season. So how do we collect data that's timely enough that that can be utilized? The second part of that is then, of course, with the pooled catch share and the compensated, the purchase of the IFQ, you know, how is that going to be handled? How's that going to be funded? How are we going to, you know, manage that? Is it going to be an RFA? Is it going to be something different than that? And that's sort of what we'll do when we go back as we take some of these ideas and put that together.
Salzer expects a draft plan will be released this fall. Juneau Lodge owner Richard Yamada is working as a technical advisor on the CATCH project. He believes the charter and commercial fleets could come to some consensus since both sides stand to benefit from this project.
There's something to be gained from the commercial side, and really the catch accountability is a big item, and something that, you know, the charter sector is going to have to wrestle with as well. But also for the charter side is the purchase mechanism to be able to buy quota share and alleviate some of the restrictions like these size limits. That in the long term is a, you know, something that is a need that the charter sector is seeking. There's something there to be gained by both sides, and I think we just need to kind of flesh that out and stop talking.
A calendar of CATCH meetings can be found at the organization's website at catchalaska.org. Alaska's summer hiring boom is in full effect. The economy added about 20,000 jobs in June, according to monthly employment statistics released Friday by the State Labor Department. State economist Molly Abrahamson said the visitor industry led the way, adding more than 5,000 jobs from May to June. Skagway's unemployment rate went from 4.4% in May to 3.1% last month, slightly higher than in June 2010. Haynes unemployment is the same as this time last year, 6.8%. down from 7% in May. Southeast Alaska's jobless rate rose from 6.5% in May to 7% in June and sits slightly higher than the same time last year. A statewide advisory committee in healthcare is looking for professional and non-professional members. The Alaska Department of Health and Social Services needs 5 more members on its Medical Care Advisory Committee, which advises the State Department of Health in how to improve and maintain the quality of Alaska's medical assistance program. Members serve 3-year terms with eligibility for reappointment and are chosen for interest in the community and the Medicaid program. The committee has 13 members total, holds 3 cost-covered in-person meetings around the state, and 2 teleconference meetings. The committee currently needs 2 provider members and 3 consumer members, which could be Medicaid recipients, a non-governmental social services agency representative, or a private non-recipient citizen. Candidates should also have good technical knowledge of the department programs and an understanding of the government process involved. Alaskans interested in applying for committee membership should send a statement of interest to MCAC websites at alaska.gov. You can find this information if you search Alaska Medical Care Advisory Committee on the internet. According to government statistics, American Indians are 70% more likely to die by suicide than the general population. The high suicide rate has been called a silent epidemic. But it's silent no more if you cock an ear to the noise coming from a health workshop in Portland. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonzi reports that prevention workers there are hoping teen-generated web videos, music, and even a comic book can save lives.
Almost 1 in 4 Native American youth has attempted suicide, according to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. 17-year-old Brandon Trejo, who lives on a reservation in eastern Washington, knows a face behind those stats.
One of my friends, he tried overdosing on a bunch of pills. He didn't work. He ended up going to the hospital, getting his stomach pumped.
Trejo was shocked and still doesn't have answers for why it happened. Tribal member Sarah Hull has felt the same shock, not just once, but multiple times. The 16-year-old goes to school off-reservation in suburban Gresham, Oregon.
I know from personal experience living in a Native American community and being around people that depression is really common because for a lot of people it's hard to find your way to your culture or to find your way to a certain passion when you don't know who you are and you're confused.
Sarah's mother says there have been times she, the mother, could feel danger in the air. The family has found an antidote in music.
Ready?
So here Sarah is in a makeshift recording studio set up at a tribal health workshop.
Oh, how I wish you would stay.
Awesome. Now let's throw the hook on there.
Hull says she lay awake at night trying to find the right words for a song on the unusual theme of suicide prevention.
I will not fail. I will stay strong.
Hull's music is part of an anti-suicide healthy living workshop put on by the Northwest Portland Area Indian Health Board. The regional agency invited 60 students from different tribes throughout the Northwest to come to Portland for a week, supported by a federal grant. Suicide prevention coordinator Colby Coughlin says the staff wanted help creating health promotion messages that resonate with young people.
Just youth learn from youth. That's what has happened forever.
Conference organizers arranged presentations around suicide warning signs and healthy drug-free living. Then they set the young people loose with video camera, drawing paper, notebooks, or a music producer. Eventually, the hope is to move all the resulting material online and unleash a wave of positive social networking media.
So if they say, oh, and then I went to a leadership conference or I did a suicide prevention training and it taught me something so amazing that I actually helped save my best friend's life, that those are the things that people are going to hold with them and they're going to tell their friends.
Coughlin says the initiative was inspired by a web-based suicide prevention strategy that found success in Australia. Todd Denny has led musical workshops on Northwest reservations for a decade now. He says technology could be a means to break the stigma around a difficult, sensitive topic.
One of the big challenges with suicide in all communities, not just tribal communities, is the silence and the secrecy. And so a program like this allows people to break through those barriers of silence and secrecy, to express themselves, to tell their stories.
Over the course of a week, some of the teens did that through traditional Native music. Others explored the suicide prevention theme through more contemporary genres.
A Native once said, we don't throw away our own. Reach out to the hurting, don't leave them alone. Come on, Native people, life can be unfair. And I'll show them this. I wish it were me, I'd scream. And you try to throw it all away.
The student on the guitar is 19-year-old Jordan Hill of Gresham. He says he chose his lyrics carefully.
At every song that I've written is a message to somebody, which is why when I finally put out the album that I'm working on right now, I wanted to name it Memoir, because it's a message to everybody.
All this feeds into a media campaign called We Are Native that launches this winter. I'm Tom Bonsi in Portland.
This is Tara Bicknell for KHNS News.